All right, my name is Niels, and I usually like to start with a funny story or share a joke that could be in relation to the sermon. So this is a story about a husband, and he was at a doctor's appointment. And while he was at the doctor's appointment, he was complaining to the doctor. He's just like, "Doc, like, my wife is really, really hard of hearing. And if you have any suggestions of something I can do or something I can try, like, just let me know." So then the doc says, "Okay, go home and try this." And so the wife is cooking dinner, and she's in the kitchen, and then the husband stands about 15 feet behind her, right? So she's faced away. And so the husband says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" No response. Goes up to the 10-foot marker and says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" No response. Goes up to the 5-foot marker and says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" Still nothing. Finally goes up and is just like inches behind her and says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And she's just like in frustration says, she says, "Geez, I told you 4 times already. Chicken." So now we know who was hard of hearing, right? Do you ever wonder or consider if you're a good listener? Or hope that when you're engaged in conversation, that the other person is hopefully listening to you? Well, we're in a series called Emotionally Healthy Relationships, and today's message is on how to listen incarnationally. Part of being a good communicator is actually knowing how to listen. And so I'm going to start by giving you some statistics on listening. So number one, people spend about 70 to 80% of their day engaged in some sort of communication, right? 55% of that time devoted to listening. So if you're thinking about like a 24-hour day, if you're sleeping for, let's say, what, an average to 7 to 9 hours, so that means that 16% of that, or sorry, 16 hours of that, you could be engaged in some form of communication, with half of that being listening. I mean, I'm not a parent yet, but like, you know, you could be listening to your kids, or maybe you're in a job or a profession in which you're listening all the time, or you're communicating. So that's amazing that almost 50%, over 50% of that is devoted to listening. An average person hears about 20 to 30,000 words during the course of a 24-hour period. That's a lot of words. I mean, my wife has a Fitbit. I was like, I need a word counter just to see if that's true. But like, you know, that's amazing thinking about like how much is said. A typical person utters approximately 125 to 175 words per minute. The average number of words you're able to listen to is 450 words per minute. However, most people only remember 17 to 25% of what is said. This was discouraging reading this, thinking I'm preaching today, saying, "God, like, Holy Spirit, please speak through me," if they're only going to get a quarter of what I'm saying. Right? But that's amazing, right? Thinking, you know, so maybe some of you, depending on the type of listening you do, like, or the type of learner you are. I was a hands-on learner. There's three types of learning. There's, like, you might be an audio learner. You might learn better by hearing. You might be more of a visual learner, right? So this is why, like, a PowerPoint would help in a presentation or in a sermon. You might be kinesthetic, right? More hands-on. Growing up, I was somewhere in the middle of, like, kinesthetic to visual learner. 7% of communication is verbal, right? So what's actually said, and 93% of communication is nonverbal. 38% of that being tone of voice. Oops, went too far. And then 55% of that being body language, right? So 7% is just what's said. Right, so somebody comes and says something to me, and I say something in a direct tone, you know, maybe it wasn't like me being rude, but maybe my back was hurting, and then it came out that way, right? So that can create just a bit of tension with like 93% of communication being just the tone in what it was said, and also the body language and expression. So developing good listening skills is important, especially when it comes to building relationships, both professionally and personally. And when we think of the word incarnate, right, the context in which it is being used here is to be present with one another, right? And so when we choose to incarnate, we essentially hang between our own world and the world of another person. We're called to remain faithful to who we are, but not losing our essence, while at the same time entering into the world of another. Now Jesus, his incarnation, right, his essentially, like his being with us, and his death, they brought great life. So our choice to do this will also result in resurrection life, and much fruit is in us and others. The fruit of mature spirituality to essentially being an incarnational, is to be an incarnational presence to another person. Like Jesus, to essentially enter into their world without losing who you are. So you can enter and be in presence with another person, but still hold on to yourself. The purpose is very much to listen at a heart level with empathy, attuned to the verbal and nonverbal communication of another person. So in a nutshell, so that they feel felt by you. Now with listening, there comes this idea of being together with another person. I don't necessarily mean romantically, I just mean like just simply being together, right? Unhealthy togetherness would be wanting or expecting the other person to think and feel the way you do. Like, can't you just read my mind? I think like Rick touched on this a couple weeks ago, kind of when we talked about expectations. Now, healthy togetherness is the individuals respect each other's thoughts and separateness, respect each other's viewpoints, but they allow each other to have their own thoughts, feelings, fears, and values. However, depending on the way in which you grew up, right, you may or may not have learned how to be a good listener because of your family origin. You know, you may have grown up in a calm, peaceful environment in which you were taught how to listen, to be quiet, wait until the other person finishes saying what they need to say excuse me when you want to say something. Or maybe you grew up in a tense environment where there could have been shouting and yelling and tension. So depending on how you were raised, that would kind of determine whether or not, like, you develop some good listening skills. How did the family of origin that you grew up in speak to one another? What's beautiful here is that in the family of Jesus, when we're in community with one another, here in this community, this safe space, we speak respectfully with one another, honestly, clearly, timely being another example. In the last few days, maybe think about when has your speech not been respectful, honest, clear, or timely? And then just think, well, hey, like, how could I have done that differently? You know, what could I have changed about maybe the way I spoke or maybe the way I listened? I'm going to give you an awesome example of how Jesus displays listening. In Mark chapter 10, verse 21, it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. So here we see a beautiful example of Jesus listening. So what I want you to do as you're looking up at that, just focus on the first few words of that. Jesus looked at him and loved him. An example of Jesus essentially being present in the moment and not in a rush. And so sometimes, like, when if you're reading scripture, if you're reading the Bible, you can just sometimes, like, read that really quickly and be like, oh, Jesus looked at him and loved him. That's nice. Okay, one thing you lack, he said, go sell it. And you can focus on what is said, right? You know, I'm guilty of that. You just read it so quickly. You just kind of want to just read and kind of get through it, right? But Jesus is here, and he's not in a rush, okay? And depending on the Bible you have, in Mark chapter 10, some of your Bibles may just go passage to passage to passage and just kind of read straight through. If you have a newer Bible or if you have like the YouVersion Bible app, within the context of a passage, it'll break it up. It'll break the scripture up into sections, right? If you know what I'm talking about. So this section of the passage before that, in my Bible, it's called The Rich and the Kingdom. So what is happening here is that a rich man has run up to Jesus. He's fallen at his knees. I'm just paraphrasing. And then he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Then Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not give false testimony. You shall honor your father and mother. And so on. To which the rich man responds, you could see it reading like in the verses up to it, he says, All these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him by embracing him in the moment. Because when the rich man said what he did, this is funny, because when the rich man said that he kept all the commandments, when he said, all these I kept when I was a boy, Jesus could have been like, really? No. Like, my disciples are 6 out of 10 on a good day. I mean, like, I got Judas, like, stealing. I got, like, Peter chopping people's ears off. Like, I'm jumping ahead of myself, right? But, you know, Jesus could have called his bluff and been like, yeah, okay. But instead, he just looks at him and loves him. And he didn't necessarily commend the word. Like, you don't see him, like, commending him and saying, oh, okay. Like, he didn't necessarily commend him with words. But it was that 93% of communication where he just looked at him and he loved him and he essentially communicated this with his tone and with his body language. With compassion, he's just saying like, yeah, like one thing you lack. I'm not Jesus, so I can't display it as good as it was, but when he said to him, one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. That he probably just said it with such great compassion. You know, and it's like, and if you're a parent here, it's almost in the same way. Maybe you discipline your kids. You could choose to discipline them harshly and yell at them, and you know, sometimes they may deserve that, right? And then sometimes you can almost discipline them in the same way and do it. And then you end up doing it with love and compassion. You say the same thing, but the kid receives it differently, where they're just like, yeah, okay. Like, and then they go and respond differently. So Jesus, he set the tone here, so to speak, by looking at him and loving him. Amazing how it's just so true. Like, these stats about communication, it's like there's like a biblical example of where Jesus displays that. David Augsburger, he's an American Anabaptist author and professor. He has said that listening and being heard is so closely linked to loving that the two are almost indistinguishable. Body language and tone are so key in listening incarnationally. In Proverbs 17, verses 27 to 28, it says, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. So this verse, it talks about someone who has knowledge. They're aiming to do good with what they know, but they'll say little in order to take the time to think and deliberate. That even someone who has a reputation for being a fool, that they may be given a positive reputation of being a wise person if they could simply just hold their tongue to hear and see, to not say much. It's talking about, let's say somebody's in one group of friends and maybe like the two don't know each other, right? Or two different like workplaces and like the one boss hasn't called the other boss or done a reference check, right? Just kind of like a modern day example, right? That this verse is talking about if someone who has a reputation for, let's say, talking rubbish and nonsense, then suddenly they're in like a different group of people where the two groups don't know each other. And then this person who is known for talking rubbish and nonsense in the one group, that if they could just keep their mouth shut just for a little bit and act with wisdom, that they would be seen as wise if they just kept silent and observed. Kind of like fake it till you make it. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. But like, people will see this person and think in the other group, oh, wow, like, they're a good listener. Okay, they seem to pause. They seem to think. They seem to gain experience, consult with themselves, observe what others say, and then speak when it's appropriate. So the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. And then here's another great passage in James 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So when I just look at this verse, I'm thinking, okay, it's saying essentially just thinking before you speak, right? However, when it talks about also being quick to listen, I just want to say that this is important too, because we have to choose what we listen to as well. I read another statistic that came from Stanford University, which said that 30 minutes of negativity, okay, including negative news on TV, can physically damage your brain. And it causes damage in the neutrons in the hippocampus, which is that, I'm not just trying to sound smart, it's actually a word, right? It's like the top where it says bottom hippocampus, and it's pointing just to the bottom of the brain right there, that it can cause damage on there. That part of the brain is so important because it's used for problem solving and cognitive function. So it's kind of interesting that, like, even though, like, we're called to listen, we also have to be careful with what we allow our minds and our hearts to be corrupted with. To be slow to speak and to think about what is being said. To meditate on it and then respond back in conversation. You know, this can be challenging too, right? Because sometimes, like, we might be wired to maybe talk fast, or a lot of us, we may have busy lives, and so it might be difficult to be slow to speak because, you know, you've got like 16 hours in a day and you got to get from here to there. But it's something that Scripture is encouraging us to do, because God knows that being slow to speak, you know what it'll produce? It's beautiful. It will produce fruitful conversation. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Here's some guidelines which come from the book Emotionally Healthy Relationships, which is the study that we're in. And so some guidelines for the listener. Give the speaker your full attention. So these are just some awesome practical tips that you can try. Step into the speaker's shoes and feel what they are feeling. Avoid judging or interpreting. Reflect back as accurately as you can with what you heard them say. When you think the speaker is done, ask, is there more? I know this is careful, right? When the speaker is done, like, you know, just reaffirm, like, are you sure? Is there more? When the speaker is done, ask, of everything you have shared, what is the most important thing you want me to remember? So use that is there more part with discretion, right? Because if you've given up an hour of your time to meet with someone or to do coffee with them, well, you know, some things are maybe just better waiting until a week or two. That's okay, right? But the reality is, you know, you've taken time out of your day to meet with someone and maybe minister with them. And so the question, is there more? Ask it once or twice, right? You know, use that, think about that and use it wisely. Now for the speaker, speak in the eye. Keep your statements brief. Stop to let the listener paraphrase. Include your feelings. Be honest, clear, and respectful. It is critically important to help people distinguish a thought from a feeling. So again, these are just some guidelines, right, that kind of come straight from the book as suggestions on how we can model listening incarnationally when we're in conversation with one another, whether it's as the listener or as the speaker. However, the beautiful thing about this all is that these are just guidelines and suggestions, but we have someone who modeled this really well for us, and his name is Jesus. And he modeled how to be emotionally healthy in relationship with one another and how to listen incarnationally. And I kind of gave you that example earlier, Mark chapter 10, right, where Jesus modeled it with his body language and with his tone, where much more was said just by his presence than even with his words. In John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 and verse 14, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." I'll read that one more time, just to let that sink in. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been. The Word became flesh and his dwelling among us. And made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I think the reason why God is called the Word is because our words explain our minds and our hearts to others. And so that means that the Son of God was sent in order to reveal the Father's heart and mind. Think about that. That the reason why the Son of God is called the Word is because our words, when we're talking with one another, they explain our minds and our hearts to each other. Right? Think about that when we're in conversation. So that means the Son of God, Jesus, was sent to earth so that the Father's heart and his mind could be revealed to us. And even though now we don't have Jesus, like his physical presence, we have the Holy Spirit. 2,000 years later, he's still talking and he's still speaking to us today. We can listen to him and he can listen to us. It's a two-way street. With prayer, be careful with that. Don't be the only one talking, right? Let him speak to you. In the beginning, the beginning, meaning that before our existence, that before the earth was created, that God was the Word, that Christ was also with God, and that the Word was God. Now put yourself in Jesus' shoes and just think for a moment what it would have been like for the King of Kings to essentially leave his world, the kingdom of heaven, and enter a world so differently from that. Maybe you've moved from one location to another and it's felt like you've entered a different world. Think about a time when you kind of left your world and entered another one. I attended a school in southern Manitoba called Providence University College. It's in the middle of nowhere in this town called Otterburn, Manitoba. And I was taking this class called Cultural Anthropology. And the professor had known about my background a bit. And just to share, so I'm a Sri Lankan by background. First name, that's my last name is Jayasegara. That's a Sri Lankan last name. First name is Niels. It's a German Scandinavian name. Was born there, lived there till age 7. I know I have an identity crisis every time I'm explaining where I'm from, but no, I'm just kidding. But and then Germany, left there when I was age 7, raised in a single parent home, moved to Canada, and then lived in Toronto from age 7 to 18, and then came to school in southern Manitoba. Okay? And so the professor looks at me and we're talking about cultures, and then he's like, "Niels, I bet you, like, if I was to guess, the time in which you got culture shock was not when you moved from Frankfurt to Toronto, even though that's like a different country. It was probably when you moved from Toronto to Otterburn. I definitely got culture shock. There's stars on the horizon. When I landed here, we're driving out to the prairies. I'm like, what is that in the distance? And the driver's like, those are stars. It was nighttime. It was beautiful, right? Do you know what's on the horizon in Toronto? Buildings, cars, transit systems. So that's just an example of when I left like this urban world that I grew up in and then moved to a rural community for 4 years of school. That Jesus, he left his world. He then entered ours. He held on to himself and stayed true to his beliefs. Like even when he was tempted, because he was in the flesh. He was one of us. That he still stayed true to his beliefs. And then he hung between the two. Literally. And so we see that Jesus serves as a beautiful model of listening. And if it's anything I want you to get, feel free to just copy that down or take a picture of that. That Jesus left his world. And when we listen and we're in conversation with another person, we leave our world. Jesus entered our world. And when we enter another person's, and then we do the same, sorry, by entering another person's world through listening. Both left and entering. And then he held on to himself. And so when we listen, we don't necessarily have to agree. Right? You're in conversation with someone. Just because you don't agree with them doesn't mean you don't love them. You can still be empathetic and be like, okay, like, I hear you. I feel what you're saying. You know, I can't imagine what that must be like. Being empathetic, that word is floating around a lot in our culture today, and I think that's important. Right? Because it was such a different world when Jesus left it. He left the kingdom of heaven and then came to earth. And it's just amazing how when he modeled that, it's similar to how it is an example of listening incarnationally with one another. He left his world. He entered ours. He still held on to himself and stayed true to his beliefs. And then he hung between the two worlds. You know, you might be thinking when you're not with another person, I may not like what I hear. And when Jesus came to earth, he obviously didn't like what he saw. But he still came and he ministered, healed the sick, raised the dead, deliverance from our bondages and our sins. He didn't like what he saw, but he came and he embraced us and was with us. And then he literally hung between the two worlds, not just hung out with them, but hung on a cross so that our sins could be forgiven, which bridged that gap between us and God and what Jesus fulfilled. That's just such a beautiful thing. Worship team, if you want to come back up, if that's cool. And so just as I'm closing, I just want to challenge you in something. Is there someone that God wants you to maybe support by listening to, by being with them? Is there someone that you can listen incarnationally to? Or someone you need to reach out and just simply see, like, you know, how are they doing? And just love them with your presence of simply being there for them. And so I just want you just to take a moment right now, just in prayer. Just ask the Holy Spirit just to lay someone on your heart. Maybe as I was already saying it, you already knew. And for some, God, I just pray, Holy Spirit, just reveal that right now. Maybe one person or a few. Maybe it just even starts right at home. Just listening in to one another. Someone to support by listening to. To reach out, see how they're doing. Maybe after church is done today, just send them a text. Get together for coffee or something. Give them a call. It's another thing that the cell phone does. You can use it to call people apparently too, right? Video chat. It's beautiful. Thank you, God. Holy Spirit, just begin to speak that to us now. Just take a moment. Let's just listen. Thank you, God, just for speaking us to that right now. Hallelujah. Perhaps you're here today and you want to respond to the message in a different way, and God is speaking to you right now and you're feeling a different pull at your heart. That's the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here today and you want to accept Christ, maybe for the first time, or you just want to rededicate your life to Him. Jesus, again, He did something so beautiful when He left this world. When He entered ours, when He held on to Himself, when He held on to His beliefs, and He didn't sin, when He healed people, when He raised them from the dead, delivered us of our sicknesses and bondages, our emotional wounds. Now, some of you, you continue to experience that today, that freedom. And then He literally hung on a cross and became sin. The beautiful thing is that on the third day, He rose again, defeating death. Hallelujah. God loves you. God has a plan for you. However, we are a sinful people. We've been separated from God. But it's so beautiful that He sent His Son to die for our sins. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Me. So if you want to accept Christ, whether you're somewhere near the front or at the back, and you can hear this at the sound of my voice, with every eye closed and with every head bowed, if that's you, I encourage you just to raise your hand and say, yes, today I choose to follow Christ and make Him my Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here today and it's been a while since you've been following Christ. Maybe you're here today and you want to rededicate your life to Him as well. If that's you, I encourage you just to raise your hand. Thank you. I see you at the back. Yeah. I want everyone just to repeat this prayer and say it together, just so that no one prays alone. Dear God, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask You to forgive me. I believe that Jesus Christ is Your Son, and that He died on the cross for my sins, and that You raised Him to life. I ask You, Jesus, to come into my heart, and I surrender my life to You. I want to trust You as my Lord and Savior and follow You. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you just prayed that for the first time today, or maybe if I just didn't see your hand. I don't know, let's just give each other a round of applause and just welcome each other into the family of God, just for that one person that maybe may have prayed that today. And that's the beautiful thing, is that even if there was just one of us, even if Jesus only had to come for just one, He would have left His world and entered it, ours. Stayed true to His beliefs, and then He hung between the two. Oh, thank You, Father. Can we do raise a hallelujah? Oh, that's cool. I just want to encourage you just to stand and worship as we sing raise a hallelujah. If there's anything that you need prayer for, I'll be up here, and Andrew's our prayer captain. If there's anything that you want prayer for, just come to one of us, and I'll just remain near the front, or as well, just continue to even pray with each other. God bless you.